So here, Psalm 106 continued with different verses, a story in this psalm of falling down and getting back up. Come closer, hear these words. But soon they forgot. They forgot what you had done and rejected your advice. Your people made and worshiped the statue of a calf instead of you, their glorious God. You worked powerful miracles to save them from Egypt, but they forgot about you and the fearsome things you did at the Red Sea. They would not trust you, Lord, and they did not like the promised land. But you saved them time after time. Lord God of Israel, you deserve to be praised forever and ever. Here ends the reading. Thanks be to God. Well, the story goes that around the turn of the century, a businessman was in deep debt, and he couldn't figure a way out of it. Creditors were pressing him, and suppliers were demanding payment. So he went to a park, and he sat on a bench with his head in his hands, and he tried to think of what could save his business from bankruptcy. When all of a sudden, an old man appeared in front of him, and he said, "I see something is bothering you." After listening to the businessman, the old man then said, "I think I can help you." He asked the businessman his name, and then he wrote him a check, saying, "Take this money, and we will meet back here in exactly 1 year, and you will return this check back to me at that time." So, after they reached an agreement upon the deal, he gave him the check, and he walked away. The businessman looked at the check and saw it was for $500,000, and was signed by John D. Rockefeller, one of the world's richest people at the time. And he thought, "I could end all of my problems right here, right now, with this check." But because of the deal he'd made, he put the check in his safe and set out to find a solution to save his business. And with the return of his optimism, he did find a solution and started to have profitable deals once again. And soon, he got out of debt, and exactly 1 year later, he went back to the park, sat on the bench, and with the same check he had kept in his safe, at the agreed time, the old man appeared again, just like he had said. But just as the businessman went to hand him a check and tell him his story, a nurse came running up and grabbed a hold of the old man. And he said to the businessman, "I'm so glad I caught him. I hope he wasn't bothering you. He runs away all the time and tells people he's John D. Rockefeller." And with that, the nurse promptly marched the man away. The businessman stood there completely taken aback. For an entire year, he was building back his business, buying and selling, completely convinced that he had $500,000 at his disposal, should he need it. And that's when he realized it wasn't the money, real or imaginary, that got him back on track. It was his belief that he had everything he needed to do so. It was his belief. His belief was the key. Belief is powerful because what we believe has a huge influence on us, doesn't it? And up until now, we have imagined some pretty amazing things in our worship series this summer. We have imagined transforming the world to live in love and not in fear. We have imagined the beautiful promised land God has for each of us in our lives, that place where we can still have our peace, even if things go wrong, or times get difficult. And then we imagined a world that cares for each other without hesitancy or reserve. A world that knows when they are careful with each other, they know they will be cared for as well. And last week, we even imagined a world that shares the gifts and the love and the resources each of us has with confidence and grace instead of worry that we will be the ones without. But here's the million-dollar question with all of this imagining. Do we believe any of these things can actually happen? Do we believe the world can live in love? That we can have our peace in difficult times? That we can care for each other and share what we have with each other? Do we really believe we can help create a world like this? Or have we kind of figured, too little, too late? Have we rolled our eyes and become like the Israelites in Psalm 106? Have we become forgetful? Forgetful of all God has done? Have we forgotten the flight from Egypt and the parting of the Red Sea and the bread come down from heaven? Have we forgotten the promised land? And David defeating Goliath, and Daniel getting out of the lion's den, and the feeding of the 5,000, and the leper made clean, and the blind seeing, and the lame walking. God has saved us time after time, generation after generation. How many more times will it take before we believe in what God can do, and what God can do through us? Because none of this happens without us, as Kelsey shared with the children. Without our help and without our belief, none of this can happen because we are part of something bigger. We are instruments for God. We are a part of what God has imagined for our world. It's like the story about the little wave in Mitch Albom's book, Tuesdays with Maury, if you've ever read that. This is the story. A little wave was bobbling along in the ocean, having a grand old time, enjoying the wind and the fresh air, until it noticed all the other waves in front of it were crashing against the shore. And it thought, oh my gosh, this is terrible. Let's look what's going to happen to me. Then another wave came along and said, why do you look so sad? To which the first wave replied, you don't understand. We're all going to crash. All of us waves are going to be nothing. Isn't it terrible? But the second wave said, no, my friend, it is you who don't understand. You are not a wave. You are part of the ocean. We are not just another human being on the face of this earth here to live and die. We are a part of the kingdom of heaven. We are a part of the kingdom of heaven. We are part of something way bigger than us, something we may not be able to see all the benefits of right now, but something that, over time, is making a difference in our world. Do we believe that? Do we believe our efforts are making a difference? Do we believe our actions really are transforming the world into what God imagined for us? Because it can be a catch-22 some days, can't it? It can be one of those, well, I won't believe it until I see it, right? Situations. But then there's the other side of, but unless we actually believe it can happen at some level, it can't even begin. It's a catch-22. Because author and motivational speaker and director of Carve Your Destiny, Abhinav Srivastava, says the first step to achieving anything great is having incredible self-belief. It's the first step to believe it. But if we're waiting around like the Israelites for proof that it can be done, or to see that progress is being made, we'll end up on a park bench somewhere with our head in our hands, waiting for a Don D. Rockefeller wannabe to hand us a $500,000 check. And that's not likely to happen. What is more likely to happen is our belief in a God who delivers us out of bondage from the things and the people and the places that hold us captive to all the stuff that distort our thinking of what really brings peace and contentment and satisfaction to us. Because our God has done this for us time and again. Our God has saved us time and again from the very beginning. When has God gotten you through a tough time? When has God been there for you? We already have our proof. We already know what God has already done for us in our own lives, so we can know that God will continue to do for us. And whether or not we see the outcome of our efforts, that should not stop us from our efforts or from our belief that our efforts will make a difference. Because God is using every effort of ours, just like the ocean uses every wave. So think of it as planting a tree. The person who plants a tree is a believer. They believe in the future because they will never see this tree at its greatest. And Audrey Hepburn said, to plant a garden is to believe in tomorrow. And Warren Buffett said, someone is sitting in the shade today because someone planted a tree a long time ago. Can you imagine? And do you believe we can have a world full of love, not fear? A world that always turned towards hope. A life where people feel settled and content. A life of deep peace within. What do you believe? Keep your beliefs before you. It's the first step to achieving anything great. Amen.